Oh my God, we are back once again for, of course, another Sake Bomb A Go Go show 16 for those of you keeping
Sweet
track.
16.
Keeping track at home, yeah. And my name's Matt, with me as always.
Pro me.
And we are here to bring you the greatest crazy music that you've never heard of, but now you need to
from
know.
From Land of the Rising Sun.
And yes, last week I was like, I swore I uploaded that 5678 album that I was missing. I did. I just had it in a different folder. Because right before the show this week, I put the disc in and it said, and I'm like, you're supposed to be talking about ripping this. And it's like, it's already there. And I was like, I started yelling at it. And I was like, okay, show me. And I typed into the little search bar. And I was like, oh, there it is. I'm dumb.
I was going to say, do you have some weird artificial intelligence system on your computer where you can have these elaborate conversations?
No, I did.
Show me.
I argue with inanimate objects all the time. It's a mental illness I have. I'm comfortable
with
it.
Like, is your computer here?
Yeah, that computer would eject into space you're about like, 10 seconds into it.
Show me the files, Hal. I cannot do that now.
And like, look, Hal, I'm going to start kicking stuff, and I mean hard, so you better just do what
I
want.
There's no vacuum around here, so you got no cards to play, buddy.
No vacuum and a whole lot of guns, so you're going to be dancing. I don't know. So that's all good. Of course, I'll be doing some cuts from, Teenage Mojo Workout, which is one of the 5678's most famous albums ever in a million billion years. So yay for that.
Yeah. Also, I think that was also a fitness video from the 80s.
Yes, it was not. Yes, it was not. Got anything going on? And I've been trying to find a whole bunch of documentaries. I've been watching documentaries about video games and pinball machines.
There's a really great one. I think it's called 7 Days to Error or 6 Days
to
Error.
I knew that was coming, but yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. Oh, I did see that Archer.
It's been like 6 years. Maybe in a...
six years to watch.
Maybe in another six or seven, you'll get to it. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Once South Park is off the air.
That's never going to happen. I can't believe it's still going, to be honest with you, but I can't
believe The Simpsons is still going.
I haven't watched either of those in like 38 years, and that was 20 years into their run. They've literally been on air for 7,000 years, which is weird when you think about it.
Well, there's a weird controversy with The Simpsons now.
Uh-oh.
Because of the Abu character.
What about him?
Well, they've been getting some flack that he's, an insensitively depicted character.
You got to be kidding me. Well, on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. And of course, yeah, the thing is that they're not sensitive to any of the stereotypes that they make in that show.
Cletus.
Yeah, like everybody is made every member of the Simpsons family themselves are a
walking stereotype
or an incorrect commentary on, yeah, exactly. But the thing about it is that what one of the producers tried to kind of point out was that when the character was developed, it was done at a time when that was not considered politically incorrect. And, and they actually addressed it on the air in an episode recently where, with like Lisa and Marge, and Marge was reading a politically correct bedtime story where it was like a fairy tale, but everything had been changed because of,
Yeah.
And, Lisa complained about it. And then they say something like, well, what can you do when something was, made way in the past and celebrated and is now considered offensive today? And then Marge is like, I don't know, what can you do? And Lisa is like, maybe nothing. And Marge is like, or maybe, something, but a very, very long time. They basically kind of, the way they address it is kind of to say like, yeah, we're not really changing anything. And it's funny because, they knew when they did that episode that there was going to be some fallback because like one of the producers had posted something like Simpsons starts in 20 minutes waiting for the storm.
Yeah.
Like they knew and sure enough people flowed through complaining about it and somebody's like, show me when that character is ever praised, and he's like, the so and so the guy that does the voice for him actually won an award for doing that character. In 19 or whatever it is, like, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He's like, only 20 years ago, Hollywood gave a member of the cast an award for doing that character. And, so it's kind of like,
I
but it is a weird thing, though, because it's a show that's been on so long that it's like you look back at other shows and stuff from the period that it's made, and there is probably stuff that would be considered insensitive or inappropriate now, but they're not on the air anymore.
Yeah, and plus so, we're so stupid about everything now. God.
But it's like The Simpsons is like there's a dinosaur, but it's still alive. So you want to judge it by today's standards, even though it exists as something that came from another era, but it's also still this era. So you can't change it and water it down, because if you do, then it's not what it actually was anymore.
Well, look, everyone, just think of The Simpsons as your racist old great-grandfather and let it go. You know, old Pappy's going to be the same, and he's going to drink his schlitz, and he's going to talk about those kind of people, then he's going to die. And then that's it.
And you can think of South Park as his son, who picked up a lot of his bad habits,
but drinks a lot more.
Yeah, but drinks a lot more.
So there you go. Just pretend anything that offends you, look in the mirror and think, well, you know, who cares? And that's it. We're going to go to some music, and when we come back, we'll talk about probably something a little bit lighthearted.
Yeah.
Like Hopefully. 7 Days to Air, which is the documentary about the documentary of 6 Days to Air. That's not real. That's all fake. This isn't, though. This is music.
Mr. Lebowski, this is Bell Selinger of the Southern Cal Bowling League. I just got an informal report that a member of your team, Walter Solchak, drew a firearm during league play. If this is true, of course, it contravenes a number of the league's bylaws and also Article 27 of the league. We'll be right back.
Father, raise the hand grenade up on high, saying, O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thine enemies to tiny bits.
Paramount Pictures presents
a duel, ghoul, double, scream show.
Scream number one.
Frankenstein and the monster from hell.
See the eeriest transplant in the history of horror. His brain came from a genius, his body from a killer, his soul came from hell.
It's the newest and most frightening Frankenstein ever filmed.
Scream number two. Captain Kronos, vampire hunter.
The only man alive feared by the walking dead. Warn the night creatures and the blood family. Captain Kronos is here!
Frankenstein and the monster from hell. Plus,
Captain Kronos, vampire hunter. All shot.
In color, both rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Now scream!
All right, that was The Bat off of their CD, the official The Bat Club CD. I played Green Hornet, Willy the Wild, and Hump. There you go. I was listening to, right before you came today, I was listening to, I have a Pandora on a TV. I talk about this all the time, I don't know why. And then the Beatles song came on. And I started wondering, you know, like those bands that kind of, up to this point, have kind of transcended. Like Pink Floyd is like that stoner band, and Beatles are always around, and Elvis is always around. Like, do you think now, even
nothing from now's generation,
like kids, like your kid won't know who the hell the Beatles are, other than
you mean these?
Yeah, like, do you think they're gonna keep going? Like,
Pink, I think they will.
Like Floyd kind of has this. Like, any kid that goes through their stoner phase in junior high or high school and smokes weed and, gets turned on to Pink Floyd or you know, they discover metal and you're like, oh my God, Black Sabbath or Metallica, you know. And you wonder how long it could be, you know.
I think, well, you know, the thing about that is that a lot of that music that that we look at that way came out at a time when there was a lot of experimentation. Mm. I mean, Pink Floyd was around at the same time that the Beatles were around.
Yeah. And so was Black Sabbath.
But they were doing very different things. Oh, yeah. And the things that they were doing either...
On lots of levels. Lots of different levels.
Yeah, I suppose you could... I suppose there could be a lot of interpretation to that statement. But, you know, the same with the Rolling Stones. And, you know, like, the thing is that they were all trying to do new and interesting things. Yeah. That doesn't seem to happen anymore.
But, I mean, do you think, like, your kid will know who they are? Like, do you think...
He'll definitely have some concept of the Beatles, because that music's not going away. Mm. Even if it's not them... Now, here's the catch, is he may not understand where it's from or exactly who made it.
Like Elvis, maybe. Like, you know how Elvis kind of has that cool rockabilly... Now it's almost attached to the outsider art rockabilly, when he was kind of, like, the clean-cut dude. So it's kind of watered down and morphs... But it still is held on to, you know, but it just means something different. I don't know.
And I mean, I think stuff like that from that era has the potential, you know, and I listen to modern music. I listen to current day stuff. I'm not like a snob about that, but I don't hear anything in any of it that really seems like revolutionarily different. It seems like it's settled into a pattern where everybody is kind of doing the same thing, and trends will change it over time.
A little bit
of
auto-tune. Same kind of commercial crap. Everyone wants to be the big hit that makes some money.
And playtime, so instead of there being individual artists striking out and like, wow, that's interesting. And I mean, I suppose there's one or two.
The Bat. The Bat. You know, they're striking out. They're different. Lolita number 18.
Yeah.
She's different, you know.
But I mean, yeah. But
they scare people. That's different. That's different than most music.
But I mean, like, in terms of big, you know, the people who get the biggest amount of attention, the ones who would potentially be the most known down the road, you know, I don't think there's going to be that thing. I mean, I suppose some of these younger folks may, as they get older, become more experimental and more interesting. So
maybe rap. Maybe like N.W.A. or Eminem or like maybe of course like the White Stripes. Maybe that will be kind of transcendent.
But they're actually this is painful for me to say. My lips are having trouble getting the words out, but they're old now.
Oh yeah,
they're not today. Yeah, I mean, they're still like, around.
But yeah, no kid goes, oh yeah, you know, NWA, that really means something to me. You know, when it, you know,
and not to say that like Eminem's not still relevant, and you know, but he's not.
It's measured.
Yeah, it's measured now.
Like in the beginning, he was kind of wow because he kind of kicked the door in and changed stuff, or even, you know, Jack White.
When yeah, White Stripes, exactly.
You're like, oh my God, who is this guy? It's stripped down and raw and nasty, and it's borrowing stuff from the blues, and you know, it was cool. But now it's just like, ah, time to make another record, and you know, whatever, who cares? You know, it's
and it's like, you know, like yeah, and but now there's and they're. And I'm trying to think how I can word this, you know, but we're talking about people who have now been doing it though for yeah. decades.
See, like Hendrix is interesting in that he was that, but even now I don't think Hendrix has the stoner cred to keep carrying him on like Floyd and, you know, and like, the Grateful Dead and stuff like that. Modern day stoner kids who are just smoking their first joint in junior high, they're going to listen to Floyd. I don't think they'll listen to Hendrix. Like, some things just kind of fall off. You know what I mean? Like, Beatles kind of just stays forever. And you know, and so does Elvis kind of. And I guess, like, what, Dolly? Not Dolly Parton. I was going to say.
Well, she is still alive.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, like, but then some bands just kind of
come and go.
And go. Even though they're very popular, you know.
You know, it's like stuff from the 80s. You know, going to see Ready Player One was funny because, you know, in the book there's lots of music references, but there's a you know, licensing smorgasbord of music and that, too. And it's, like, funny listening to some of that stuff, like you know, Van Halen Jump. And, you know, there's, like, certain songs, and you're like, oh, yeah. And it kind of takes you back to an era there, and you're like, yeah, this is actually, like, listening to it, you can hear stuff going on in the music that's, like,
it means more,
you know, like, as silly as, you know, as silly as this stuff was, and things like Twisted Sister, okay? Like, as ridiculous as their shtick was with the
they're
makeup and
good
stuff,
band, yeah.
But like you actually listening to the music itself, and you know, like don't even think about the lyrics, just listen to the sounds that they're making and what's going on with it and stuff. Yeah. There's actually a lot there, you know. And you think about where music was at that point. That was them. That wasn't, you know, a studio full of people trying to figure out how to make the next mega hit. That was still an era where like
they were fighting to scratch their way up, but. They were just not genuine music. It was music,
and what you were
you know?
Listening to was crap. These guys were actually figuring it out themselves. So when you hear all this stuff, it's like it's weird to hear that and think like this actually is. This is going to sound weird and pretentious, yeah. But this is actually seems closer to classical music than to what we have today.
Yeah,
there's like no drum beat, no synthesized drum beat. You know, because everything today is like, oh, we'll start with this electronic beat, which isn't original. You know, like everything today is layered upon. Commoditized crap, and then they plop something else on top of it, and that's what that seems to be the unique touch.
See, I think that's why I like this stuff I listen to. When you listen to this music, like from Japan, like
it's
that
more,
garage,
it's more in the vein of that.
It's just raw and nasty, you know. And I like that. I like not nasty, like mean nasty, but I mean it's just stripped down. It's a stripped down hot rod, you know. I know they did a lot of processing for like Van Halen, and I said this. I never listened to Van Halen because they were too bro-y for when they came out for me.
Yeah,
I was that kid that was like a punk, and I hate the world, and they're like bro-y. But now I got a lot of their vinyl records because that was in the bins, and you listen to it, and I was like, wow, some of these are really good. 1984 is a really good album. Diver Down is a really good album, and I listen to it now with different sensibilities, and I don't. Think so much about that. I just listen to the music like you're talking about, you know, sticks and
yeah, and it's like you can listen to that stuff and be like, even though you weren't a fan of them and what was going on with them then, you can listen to it now and go like, okay, I can see the artistic
they're good
thing here. Even you know, even if they came across like jerks and I had no interest in them or whatever.
I know.
And you're never gonna get me into spandex. What the hell was his name?
David Lee Roth. You know, and the weirdest thing is now I get these albums and I buy these albums here and there. I'm like, I'm not even supporting the band whatsoever. Like,
no.
I'm paying a quarter and they're getting none of that.
Media. Yeah.
You know,
They made their money.
Yeah, they sure did. But, I mean, they can always make more, I guess.
But I don't think there's any of that today. Not really. I mean, like you mentioned, like Eminem, to a degree, yes. But yeah. I don't exactly know if, you know, his music is necessarily going to...
Stand the test of time.
Yeah, like the real Slim Shady. I don't know if 20 years down the road, people are going to look be like, oh, that's a great classic.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You know, because like, I listened to some AC/DC the other day. AC/DC is one of those bands, like Iron Maiden and AC/DC.
Actually, you know what? 80s rock will be around as long as there are state fairs and carnivals.
Exactly.
That industry alone will be 80s rock because that is all those the carnies know how to play. It's so funny.
Do you want to go faster? Yeah. Girls. You're like, oh my God. But yeah.
I like it's the exact same music. What's weird is I wonder what they played before that.
Yeah,
not the Beatles and Pink Floyd.
No, it was just dead silence. They didn't have any music. They're like, finally, somebody has spoken to us. The carny.
We have a soundtrack for the vomit comet
for our carny lifestyle. But I was listening to AC/DC, and you know, because there's some that I cut my teeth on, but then moved away from, and not that I disliked them, I just didn't listen to them for a long time. And I started listening to AC/DC again, you know, some of their first couple, Highway to Hell, I had in my car. And I was like, man, I really love this stuff, you know. And I loved it when I was a kid, but I loved a lot of stuff when I was a kid, you know. And right. and they are very formulaic. They're one of those bands that they don't stray from.
Every album is the same thing.
And Maiden is kind of a little bit, I don't know, they tire me. I get tired out by the end of an album or two. But when I listen to them, I'm like, oh, yeah, man, this is... I really like this stuff, you know, and it's, I don't think that, a kid listening to Iron Maiden would be like, well, I don't even know what this is, stupid nonsense, you know, talking about that Rime of the Ancient Mariner or some crap, you know, they always had those episodic 13-minute opuses to some crap, and people are like, okay, you're like, okay, let's wrap this up, buddy, you know, and he's like, that guy's really, if you do anything about that guy?
No.
You know, the singer for Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson. He's like an airline pilot and an Olympic level fencer, and he's like 20 different things that one person would hang their hat on as being the greatest thing ever.
He should be like the spokesman for that beer. What is it?
Yeah, the most interesting man in the world. But it's weird. He's like, because he has his own plane and or a jet, like a real jet, and he flies the Iron Maiden jet. But then on his time off, he flies for Air Europe, and he's an Olympic fencer, and he's a this and that, and you're like, man,
what am I doing with my life?
Exactly.
The amount of drugs that guy must have done in his life, and he still pulled all this off?
No, he was like one of those straight edge guys, I think. Well, no, maybe not. He was pretty wild. I don't know. I don't know what his thing was, but it was just one of those interesting stories, and you go, huh, I really should put down the Doritos and do something better with my life. And
you're or I could see what's on Netflix.
Well, time to watch that documentary about that Iron Maiden guy. Wow, he's really cool. Sure wish I was him.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break, and then you're going to hear some music next.
Tonight, the world's most horrible combination of the decade, showing in blood-curdling color.
See a most diabolical story of sacrifices to a non-human creature in Brides of Blood, starring John Ashley.
The second unbelievable terror will scare the pure-living yell out of you when you see Christopher Lee in Blood Fiend. A pre-engagement ring set will be given to the girls who attend. Tonight, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If the Brides of Blood don't get you, the Blood Fiend must.
So, will we see you tonight? Good.
Now I swear. The next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
Thank you. bus. You make a lot, baby. Now touch just a little monkey. Yeah, you do. Yeah, yeah. You sign it to the limbo, baby. Woo! How may you go?
Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Then we should run like it is, Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
Enter Death's waiting room, if you dare.
No! No!
Below the crypt lies the Vault of Horror. A treasure chest of the macabre, filled with madness. Voodoo, vampires, torture, and terror. All the things that make life worth leaving. The Vault of Horror, from Cinerama Releasing. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent. The Vault of Horror. It has all the things that make life worth leaving.
Silence, Earthling!
My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
We'll be right back. do that murder beat. Dad, that was that TV, said that's a beat. Hey, why do you see murder working on you?
Close, very, very close.
Can't do the murder, do the murder. Can't do the murder, do the murder. Can't do the girl, do the girl. Can't do the girl.
Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap about me not listening to her enough or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
All right. That was, of course, the 5678s off of the much-anticipated Teenage Mojo Workout CD. I played I Got a Man, Harlem Shuffle, Green Onions, which is, man, I love that song quite a bit, and then the self-titled Teenage Mojo Workout. Of course, I have all the bands that we play listed on our Facebook page, so go there and follow us, and then click on those links and say, wow, that's great. And then, of course, go out and buy some of this stuff for some of these bands because they need money, because being a band, I think, doesn't make a whole lot of money. But I don't know. We're just having an off-air conversation about TV shows and some of the stuff, and I don't know. It's hard. I don't have a cable, so it's kind of hard picking and choosing what I'm going to watch, what I'm not going to watch. I thought I would love...
Wait a minute. What was the name of that last one?
Which one? Teenage Mojo Workout?
Are you sure that wasn't a... you sure that wasn't an 80s workout video?
Could have been.
I'm pretty sure Richard Simmons was the lead on that.
Really? Well, I heard now he's a shut-in that people think is dead.
Yeah, so I've heard that too.
That's sad.
Everybody be cool. You be cool.
All right, we are back. You know, I just saw a Facebook page that says, "Oh, Archer's coming back," and I said, "Oh, why?" And I used to, that breaks my heart. Archer, there's a show called Archer. If you don't know, I loved this thing. The first couple seasons.
Yeah, I was about to ask what happened between you and Archer because I only watched it sporadically.
It got terrible.
I watched episodes. I would not say I watched seasons.
See, I watched the seasons. I have like a book of the art. I have like a lot of stuff about it because I really loved the art style, and I really liked the storylines and it got like crazy town. It got like first they used to be this spy agency and it was fun and it was very cool and that kind of had no limit, but then they made it like they lost their thing, and then there was like the Vice season where they just had all this cocaine that they were trying to sell, And then they became coke dealers. And then they became a PI.
It sounds like you're talking about somebody's life.
I know. Then they became a PI.
Like the downward spiral.
And he got and Archer
started out as an international spy, and then became a coke dealer, and then
then they became a private investigator under a different different guy's thing. And then Archer got shot, and then he's in a coma, and then there was the Dreamland one, which I've never seen yet.
While he was in the coma.
While he's in the coma, and now they're gonna have some weird island thing, and I started kind of thinking, okay, why do I hate these so much? This is somebody I always say, shoot, you know, they're trying different stuff. It just is.
To me, that sounds like they're saying, before you can tell us we've jumped the shark, we are going to do it, and we are going to do it holding sparklers and shooting off flares in a rainbow costume. You know,
weird. It's so weird.
It feels almost like they just turned into it. Instead of like saying, oh, they're going to say we've gone too far, like, screw it.
Yeah, we're turning into the Smash. Well, I think I read somewhere that the creator is the only guy that writes.
So he's losing his mind.
Probably. Or something. Or he's like on a mission to change stuff. The reason you watch South Park and Simpsons for the last 78 years is because it's familiar. And you can turn it on and it's the same show. And it's... They'll do different stuff, but it's the same setting, the same show, same everything.
Yeah.
If Archer was just the James Bond knockoff doing different stuff, it would have never got boring. Like it would. I mean, it just wouldn't have. It was crazy and funny, and they had a lot of jokes. And I was just like, oh, what are you doing? You know. And I mean, I'll watch them, but I couldn't believe it when it did that. You know, because Heroes did that. I don't remember. Heroes was this show that was really cool. And then season two, it's like they just were sniffing helium or something. They forgot what brought them to this show and just...
You know, and the thing about that, well, that show had a lot of problems. They were trying to pick off the Lost phenomena, kind of having serial, you know, television that builds episode per episode. But they didn't keep track of anything. They'd bring characters in and then have something weird happen to that character. And then they just never addressed it. Like, that character just was gone. And it's like... There was no closure because it's like, did they die or did they get sucked into another dimension? Like there was so they created all these weird little plot holes because
with like Skylar running around
like,
killing people
like
for their powers.
For a while, somebody would really be important, and then they were just gone. And I don't even remember how many seasons that went. That went like three seasons or four seasons, I think.
Season two was such a horrible disappointment; it train wrecked. Then season three was like, no, we hired all the original ones back; it'll be just as good. And no one watched it because they're like, we don't care about you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go watch X-Men or whatever. Or games, you know, it says that because that first season was everyone was like, oh my god, this is a revolutionary show. It's so cool and so.
Well, I think the problem with that, the other problem with that is I think when they started out that show, they probably did not have a plan for anything beyond season one. Because everything built up to the end of season one, and then the way with the closure of season one, there was not a whole lot of.
Where we're going next. Kind of thing, yeah.
And I think that's like somebody came up with a great idea, but then didn't have any way to continue it. And
well, that's I mean, there was a couple of shows like that, like the Terminator one that just ended.
Yeah, and I actually liked that.
I liked
show.
That
I was
show.
Kind of pissed when that went off the air because I'm like, this is really interesting what they're doing with this.
And Oz, remember Oz from HBO?
Oh yeah.
Or Carnival, I mean.
Carnival.
That's the one I was like, oh, I want to get that on disc and rewatch it because I really like that show. And
I have mixed feelings about Carnival.
It just ended though, right?
Well, okay, so it had two seasons and they were planning on more, but it got canceled.
Yeah,
which is something that HBO doesn't do a lot, you know, just unplanned. But the problem with Carnival was that the first season dragged. I mean, like weird stuff happened, there's a great paraphrasing I have of something somebody said online about it that summed up my feelings on it completely. But what they would do is that like they would introduce something confusing in an episode, and then about halfway through the next episode they would sort of give you a little something. But then they'd introduce, like, two more things that were confusing. And it was, like, for everything that they...
There's a Ponzi scheme of confusion, is basically what you're saying.
For everything they would kind of half explain, they'd bring two or three more things in that just made the whole thing murkier. And it never felt like
You're like, are we going to get to something?
It just felt like you were, and I get they were trying to do world building and stuff, but it didn't feel like you, and then what happened was, is then they hit season two, and like they put it into fast gear, and all of a sudden revelations started coming. It felt like they took what they planned for season two and three and figured out how to condense it into one. Like, okay, people think we're moving too slow, so we're just going to take the next two seasons and smash those together. And it was, like, season two to me was incredibly fulfilling because things were making sense now.
Mysteries
were unfolding, mysteries were wrapping up, things were happening. And the thing that breaks my heart about that show is if they had ended the last episode of season two, I want to say about 4 minutes earlier than they did, there would have been complete closure to the show. But something happens at the very end, which is the setup for season three.
You're like, aww. And then they're like, we'll be back next year. Aww.
Like, every story comes to an end. And you have to presume that the characters in that story, unless it ends with the universe being destroyed, go on. You know, like, you know, and they all live happily ever. There's got to be something that happens after the credit rolls for all of the characters that made it, whether it's a movie or a TV or whatever else.
Yeah.
You know, Breaking Bad ended. One important character didn't make it out. Several relevant characters did. Obviously, those characters went on to lead lives and have wacky crap happen. You know, like, there's more to the story than you know, but the story, what you're focused on, ends here. They could have done that with that show. But when they aired that last episode, I don't think they, because like the way it was made, like even if they canceled it before that aired, they could have chopped those last 4 minutes and they'd have had a completion. And if it had ended right there, it would have been like, okay, this story is complete. But then they throw this thing in at the end. That's just like, oh my God, what's going to, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Oh, well. Yeah, there you go. I'm going to play some Bonzo, and then you're not going to hear us no more. So so enjoy
it. Sorry, or you're welcome.
Depending on if you hate listening to us, you're welcome. Thanks for listening. My name's Mal, with me as always.
Promi.
And we'll see you next week. Here's Bonzo to take us out of Saki Bama Go-Go.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico!